And now your speaker is Keith Young.
Well, one of the Lord's Old Testament characters. A man that had been called one that was after God's own heart. A man that was a common man that was exalted to the point of king. This, of course, is David, a shepherd. Many times we read Psalm 23, we'll hear it read to us at funerals, we'll have it read as a source of comfort to people who are in hospitals, or just as a source of comfort to us. But when you get at the heart of it, when you get to the root of Psalm 23, this is a message that is recorded to us, and we have it divinely recorded, that is from a shepherd. It's from one that lived in a completely different time than us. One that didn't know the blessings that we know. One that would fight bears, that would fight lions. One that would go before Goliath and stand and say, "You're not going to mock my God. If no one else will fight, then I will." And when you look at this passage of Scripture in Psalm 23, and you see what he writes here, then you begin to understand just how much faith, just how much confidence that David had in his shepherd, and the one that watched over him, that took care of him. And then you look at us, and you consider our blessings. I mean, as we already said, David was a one who had to daily fend off predators. He fought lions, he fought bears. He's one that had to go face to face with Goliath. None of us have ever had to do that. None of us, unless something happens in some kind of freak accident at a zoo, will never have to face some animal like that in any way. But when you look at David, and you see this man who didn't have near the blessings that we do physically, he didn't have near the type of freedoms, the advantages scientifically as well as industrially in our abilities to gain different things as we do. You see a man that though he was nothing but a shepherd at this time, that it seems that he would be talking about these things, who was content, who was one that truly understood his place in this life and his purpose, and what it meant to have the Lord as a shepherd. You start out and simply it says to us, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now to us, that don't mean quite as much as it would have to David. David understood exactly what he's talking about because that was the role he filled to those sheep. He was their protector. He was their defender. He was the one that sustained them in all things that helped them. In fact, look at John chapter 10 and verse 11. Begin there with me and follow through. And notice what Christ says here in John 10 and verse 11 and following about what the true shepherd does. And I think this is something we can all relate to, at least in some sense. John chapter 10 and verse 11 and following. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Have you ever gone into a restaurant that is family run? A business that is family run, and you go in there very often, and you get to be able to contact the owner. That owner puts special care into this business because it's his livelihood. That owner makes sure that the customers are happy, that everything is right. They'll do everything they possibly can to get you to come back consistently because this means something to them. Have you ever gone into the same store when they have a teenager hired? And nothing against teenagers. Nothing against teenagers. I was a long time ago. But have you ever been in that same store when a teenager who was not associated to that family was working it? Have you ever seen the difference of the care? Have you seen even someone, not just a teenager, but someone else that may have worked there, that it doesn't mean that much to them. It's not their business. It's just a job. And it doesn't mean so much to them to give you that special care. It doesn't mean so much for them to go into the back and find that one particular thing that you want so bad. It doesn't mean so much to them to make sure that everything is prepared properly. What's the same difference here? The shepherd that is hired on, who is not the one who owns those sheep, if a lion or a bear comes up to them, they say to themselves, I'm just hired. I'm just getting minimum wage, or I'm just getting something else, and I'm not going to bother with it, and they'll run away. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. You mean something to me. You're valuable to me. And therefore, when those predators, when those problems, when those situations come up, I'm going to stand fast and I'm going to defend you and be there for you. That's our shepherd. Our shepherd is God, the creator of this universe. The one who breathed into us and gave us our souls. The one that has given us the ability to be with Him for all eternity. And when He says, I am the shepherd, we're not talking about a hireling. We're not talking about someone who doesn't have an investment in us. When Christ, when God the Father, when the Holy Spirit, when you see them and it talks about them as the shepherd, they have an investment in us. Just like they did in David. One that should make us joyful. One that should make us realize that it is the greatest gift ever. That it's wonderful that we're going to get these presents. We're going to have all kinds of fun. Going to unwrap things. Going to be able to enjoy so many different things. But really, the greatest present you can have is being a Christian. And being His servant. And knowing that He is there for you no matter what. Now notice as you continue on, I am the shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd, I shall not want. You know, as a child, as I grew up and I read that, it just didn't quite make sense to me when it says, I shall not want. Does that mean I don't want the shepherd? It means that David is saying here that there's nothing I need that God doesn't provide. There's nothing that I would have as a necessity that He hasn't put before me. Now that's amazing when you consider how much of us we would cower if a lion or a bear were to attack. We would cower just like the rest of the children of Israel if Goliath were to come after us. But here's this shepherd boy that has to go out with the sheep and tend to them consistently. Here's this shepherd boy that isn't one that has all the comforts. Let's just say he doesn't know what a PlayStation 3 is. And yet, he says, I shall not want. You go on further with that, and he says, He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures or the tender grass. He puts the things in front of me. He gives me what I need to feed and sustain. He maketh me to lie down by the still waters. Now that's a very important thing. You notice here, first of all, the green grass, the pastures there, that translated literally means the tender grass. He gives me the good stuff. He supplies me with the very best. I eat of those things which will truly give me what I need. The still waters. Now, we don't have many sheep around here, so it doesn't really mean a lot to us. And we, even when they are watered, usually it's not out of waters that are running and such today. But a sheep won't drink out of a moving water. Refuses. And so when it says the still waters, that sheep, it will only drink out of those waters that are not moving, that are calm, that are in a place that they're able to get them without fear of the water sweeping them into the current or something like this. And so this shepherd puts forth this extra effort to make sure that the very best grass is there, to make sure that the very best water is there. In other words, he doesn't just provide when he says, I shall not want. He said, he provides me the very best. Now you think of that and you think of our shepherd, how does he provide us the very best? What green grass do you have? You know, the thing I love about being a Christian is if I wonder about something, I don't have to continue to wonder. I can go right here and I can be fed. I can have everything I need. The Lord will give me that tender grass. He'll give it to me in such a way that I can grow and I can become stronger and I can be encouraged and I can know His will for me. And I know He's taking care of me because He's given me His Word completely and utterly. I understand something. You know what? I got a phone. Aren't y'all impressed? I've used that phone 2 weeks in a row now. I bet y'all are impressed, haven't you? Do you believe I got the number of the President of the United States on this phone? Do you? You believe I've got the number of the Russian Prime Minister, the British Prime Minister, the rulers of the other nations of this world? Do you believe I got them on this phone? If you do, then I got some lakefront property in Readable, Tennessee, I want to sell you, up in the mountains. Actually, I guess it'd be oceanfront property. I don't. But you know what? I have those still waters of God because I have prayer. I can't call the President of the United States. I can't call the Prime Minister of Britain. But you know what? When we started this lesson, I called the Creator of this universe. And I asked Him to help us. That's the very best. The President or God, there is no comparison. He leads me beside the still waters. He gives me the best. I have communication to Him. I'm able to talk to Him. That shepherd provides for me in a way no one else can provide. He gives me things that no one else can give. He restoreth my soul. He reinvigorates me. He gives me that which will allow me to get through every day of my life and realize that I'm able to succeed because that shepherd is there providing for me in everything that I do. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Why does He do that? Because He wants me. You know, when you're in high school, and some of you, I guess, that are still single and such, that even after that, beyond that, one of the things that makes you feel better than anything else in the world as a boy, now, I guess it'd be the same thing as the girls too, but when you're in high school and that pretty girl, and I'm not pointing y'all guys, don't worry about it, but that pretty girl over there, she likes you. That makes you feel special, don't it? Don't it? When that pretty girl, she sends you a note, and you get that message, and you look there, and it says something so sweet, so tender. And you know, I still got the notes that my wife sent me when I was in college. I still got them. They meant something to me. Now, if y'all think that makes me a sissy boy, that's okay. It's all right. Because they mean something to me, and I don't, that what you say don't mean something to me on that. But when you consider what God has given us, and you consider what He's saying to us here. And you know, we appreciate when people make us feel special, whether it's that pretty girl that was in high school, whether it's your boss making a statement to you and telling you about doing a good job. We want to feel special. Right here you should see Psalm 23 makes you special. The shepherd that watches over you, that cares about you, that leads you in those paths of of righteousness, that provides for us. You consider the life that David lived. You consider all that he walked through. And you look at verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Again, these are things that mean something to a shepherd. This shadow of death, we have found out this was a literal place. There was a place that David knew about that was full. You might finish this, Chris. That was full of dangers. There was a valley that was known for thieves. It was known for robbers. There was a valley known for predators, known for things that would cause great harm to you. And when he mentions that, he is mentioning to them, you know what, even if I go to this literal place that is full of danger, I know God. And he'll watch over me. Tina and I were talking the other day, yesterday after we got out of the nursing home, was talking to Chris, and was talking about when we lived in Memphis. Now, I know some of you have been to Memphis, some of you have lived in Memphis. We lived in an area of Memphis that was cheaper in rent, and there was a reason for that. Excuse me. There were a lot of times that I heard gunshots. Now, this is before the children were born. Now, I don't think I lived there with the children. I wouldn't live there with you anymore, Tina, either. I don't love my wife either now. But you heard gunshots. There are times when you heard police sirens quite consistently. There were things there that would be considered in many ways very dangerous. And we know of places like that. You go into Nashville, you go into any other big city, you go into certain areas, even in smaller places, and you know there are certain areas that it's just not very safe to be. David is telling us here, no matter where I'm at, I know God's with me. Now, it doesn't mean that you do something stupid and go to one of those areas and get yourself shot, because although God is with you, it doesn't mean that He gives you the ability to be stupid. But you can always trust that relationship with God. You can always know where you're at. He says here, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." To a shepherd, this really meant something. That rod and that staff, they were tools of the shepherd. We often hear about the shepherd's hook. And that was something the shepherd used for that sheep. Those sheep that get into gullies, that get into places where bushes were at, that get into places that the shepherd really couldn't get to them very easily. And the shepherd would take this big long stick, big long staff that had a hook on the end of it, and he'd reach it down in there, he'd hook it under that sheep, and he would pull them out. He would bring them to safety. He would guide them along. And so we see there that He provided security to them, just like God provides spiritual security to us. But then also, there were predators. There were attackers. There were things that would come after Him. And we know David was famous for his slingshot. But this rod was used when wolves or other things would attack. It was such that it was a stick that was almost like a spear. It had a point on the end. It was much shorter than a staff. And they say those shepherds, they got so proficient at it that they could throw those things and they could hit that animal from a great distance that was attacking. And so that staff, that gave you your spiritual security. It helped you when you fell in trouble. That rod, it provided protection from those things from without that would come after you and attack you. Does our shepherd not do the same for us today? Does He not give us that spiritual security and help us when we fall short, when it's such that we fall into sin after obeying His gospel? Will He not reach down with His staff and not pick us back up if we will just yell to Him and do what He wants us to do? Does He not also give us that gospel and give us the means to stay away those things that would attack us and cause us troubles through temptations and such? God is still our shepherd today. He still comforts us just like He did David. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You consider with David how many times this was literally so. You consider how that when Saul sought to kill him, that he was performing for Saul in his throne room when David was still just a shepherd boy. And how that David had Saul throw a spear at him more than once, trying to kill him, trying to take his life. You consider how that many times Saul chased after David and made him to leave his family and go into hiding in other countries. And yet you see here that he says that in my presence that you have made a table that I have with my enemies. David trusted God so much that if he were to sit down in the presence of his enemies, as long as God was with him, he'd be all right. You see, he anointed, thou anointest my cup, my head with oil. In all this, David was still one who felt chosen of God. We know quite literally that he was chosen to be king, but still he says, thou anointest my head with oil. You blessed me so much, I am your chosen. I am your selected. I am the one that is being blessed. Yes, I have to face these adversaries. Yes, I go through these troubles and these temptations. Yes, I struggle through these things. But through all this, David is saying, I still feel like you've chosen me, God. I still feel like I've been so blessed. I still feel like you have put upon me so much. Then he continues on with that thought and says, my cup runneth over. It is here, through David's inspired writings, that David has told us, my cup runneth over. I can't drink it all. I can't handle all the blessings. I'm overflowing. Everything in my life is so wonderful. And then you consider our lives. Consider what we have going in our lives now. How lucky are we? Have you ever considered the present every day God gives us? Have you ever considered the joy that should always be in our lives? The security that we always have because our shepherd up above is always there with us. And it is such that our cup is always running over. We're still blessed more than most people in all this world. My cup runneth over. Did you this morning use that great ability to pray to God to thank Him for just how lucky you are? Did you thank Him for being able to come to church this morning? Did you thank Him for salvation? Did you thank Him for being around so many souls that have like precious faith? And you know what? Unless you've been somewhere where there aren't so many people who want to do what's right, you'll never appreciate it. I appreciate y'all a lot. Let's make sure we always realize just how much our cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, there are many people who try to say that the Old Testament didn't talk about the next life. Well, here's the second time we see David talk about that next life. Once when his child dies, and he says, I can't have that child come back to me, but I can go to them, to him. And the second time we see here that he says that I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brethren, that's the greatest joy there ever was. That we realize what really matters and that that good shepherd one day is going to come down and he is going to cause his flock to be with him in heaven for all eternity, providing that ultimate blessing of being with him and living our lives in heaven with him. But the only thing about it is there are many people on that day of judgment. They're not going to be able to receive that gift because they didn't put their name on the list for those that would be able to be in heaven. You know, we talk about many times wedding registries. And we see where people register and they want certain items and they give you places they're registered at. And they want to be such that you see their name there and you get them the gift that you can have, they can have for their wedding from you. Well, God has already presented the gift. It's there. It's waiting on us. And we need to put our names in the book of life that is spoken of in God's Word so that we can receive it. Is your name written there this morning? If not, why not give yourself the best present possible? Why not do for yourself that which no one else could do, knowing that God in heaven is your Savior and that you're going to be able to be with Him for all eternity? And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, knowing that Jesus Christ, He came to this earth, He died for you. Don't look at it and say, He died for me, but He did. But He died for me, and that's my personal responsibility to Him, but He died for you. knowing that He died just for you, just like He did every individual who's ever lived on the face of this earth. Leave behind that sin. Confess that, be baptized this morning, and be one who gives not only yourself, but Jesus Christ, a great gift, and presenting your soul to Him this morning.